So is everybody having a good week? Good weekend? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Is everybody else having a good week? Good, good, good. Well, we are in a series right now. And the series that we've been in is this series called Fruitful Living. I mean, I think this is just a powerful, powerful series. I know it's a very challenging series for many people, but it's a very, very powerful series called Fruitful Living. And the reason why we're taking time out of our schedule to talk about living a fruitful life, the reason why we're taking time is found actually in the words of Jesus. So I want you just to direct your attention to this verse on the screen as we begin this morning, okay? Listen to what Jesus says in our text that we've been looking at throughout the series, John 15. I hope you're reading John 15. There's a lot of good revelation in there, a lot of good insight. There always is when Jesus speaks. Listen to what Jesus says about living a fruitful life. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples." He says, "This brings great glory to my Father." So he says there's two truths concerning fruitful living. Number one, fruit is an evidence. It's evidence that you're a disciple, okay? How do you know people? You know them by the fruit they produced. They produce good fruit or bad fruit. You know people by the fruit of their lives, what they produce. Jesus is saying, if you're a disciple of mine, you're going to produce what? Good fruit, okay? And then he says the second truth concerning fruit is when our lives bear fruit, it brings glory to God. How many people, don't raise your hand, but want to live a life that brings glory to God? That when people see your life, they say, "Wow, God, isn't God amazing? I can see it through that person. I can see it through their behavior, their actions, their words. Wow, God." So when we bear fruit, it helps people to see God more clearly, okay? And in this series, we're talking about how can we do this? How can we live a more fruitful life that produces good works? Good works. By the way, in the Bible, you're going to see that the word fruit and good works are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. Bearing fruit, good works, they're interchangeable. And in this series, we're saying this about a fruitful life. A fruitful life is a life that produces good works, such as positive thoughts, attitudes, words, actions, all that are pleasing to God. So let me ask you this question. I hope that is still on the screen. I want to ask you this question concerning this slide, and that is, how many people want to be a person like this? Your life is producing positive thoughts, attitudes, words, and action, all that are pleasing to God. Okay? Now let me ask you a second question. How many people want to be around people like that? But how many people want to be like that, okay? So we need to be like that. We want to be around people that are bearing fruit, okay? That's very, very important. It's important that we're producing fruit. It's important that our lives are producing good works. I want to share a verse with you. Look at it. It's on the screen. Paul writing, he says, he's writing to Christians. He says, "For we are God's masterpiece." How many people today feel like a masterpiece? Don't raise your hand, but how many people today don't really feel like a masterpiece? Aren't you glad that faith is not based upon our feelings? Amen? But Paul says, hey, to believers, hey, believers, I want you to understand you're God's masterpiece. And he goes on to say this, created in Christ Jesus for what? Everybody read these last three words together. Four words. To do good works. That's interesting. You're God's masterpiece. You're created in Jesus Christ to do good works, to bear fruit, okay? I do want to make something very clear because I think sometimes there's that opportunity for people to misunderstand what I'm saying. So I want to bring clarity because people can be confused based upon maybe how you grew up, your traditions. I want to make something crystal clear. Crystal clear. It's clear as crystals, okay? Crystal clear. I want to make something clear, and that is that you are not saved, meaning you don't become a Christian by the good works that you do. I want to say that again. We don't become a Christian by good works. Let that sink in. I know we live in a culture that is very works-oriented. If I do more good works than bad works, good for me. Okay? But I want to let you know that you're not saved by good works, by the things that you do. We are saved by what? Everybody say one word. Say it.
Grace.
Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Isn't that an amazing word? Grace. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. You become a Christian all because of grace. Let me share a verse with you. Two verses that come right before Ephesians 2:10, 2:8, and 9. Read it. It says, it's for by grace you have been saved, what? Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Everybody say the gift of God. The gift of God. Not by works. Let's get away from the works mentality that that's going to earn us favor and salvation. It's not by works so that anyone can boast. I want to let you know you were saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. So let me ask you this question. It's the most important question of your lifetime. You say, wow, we're going to talk about the most important question of my life. Yeah, today we're going to do that. Here's the most important question of your life. Have you received God's free gift of salvation? I want you to really ponder that and don't worry about where you're sitting at or who you're sitting by. Just think about that. Have I ever received God's free gift of salvation? It's free. It's free. It's going to cost you everything, but it's free. Have you ever received God's gift of salvation? If you haven't done that, let me ask you this question. What's preventing you from doing so? What is preventing you from receiving the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and that is the gift of salvation that's made available to every person through grace by faith? What is keeping you from making a decision that will change your life in this life and for eternity? I have a real urgency in my heart that we need to do a better job about presenting Jesus Christ to people, because that's the game changer. That changes everyone's life. That changes eternity. And that is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? He gave everything for you. Will you give him your life? Okay? So we're saved by grace. And now I'm going to share something with you that might, it shouldn't confuse you, because John the Baptist talked about this. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. James, the brother of Jesus, talked about it. So what I'm trying to say, it's throughout the gospel, it's throughout the New Testament, and that is that we're saved by grace, and the evidence of our salvation should be a life that produces fruit, good works. What's that mean? That means if we have truly asked Christ to come into our lives, we become this new person. We become a new creation. Something in us, inside of us, a radical change occurs. And as a result of that radical change, there should be what? Evidence. People should be able to see, hey, something happened to Mike. Something happened. How should they be able to see that? Because of fruit. There should be good works. John the Baptist talked about this. Jesus talked about this. Paul talked about this. James talked about it. There should be evidence. But what we've been looking at in our text in John 15 is really there's four levels of fruit that Jesus talks about in the life of people. Let's review these real quick. First of all, there's people that produce no fruit. Number two, he talks about people that produce fruit. Number three, he talks about more fruit. And then he talks about a fourth level, which is called much fruit. So what we see there is we see a progression from no fruit to much fruit. And that's what God desires for your life. He wants your life to produce fruit, produce these good works. And our focus over the past 2 weeks has been this first level, and that is people who aren't producing fruit. And we found out that the primary reason why a lot of people, a high percentage of believers, aren't producing fruit, a primary reason is because they're caught up, they're trapped in a sinful lifestyle. And sin needs to be dealt with. We talked about that last week. We're not going to get into it again this week. But the result of a sinful... I'm not talking about, well, this week I lied, all my fruit's cut off. No, I'm talking more about a lifestyle that we know what's wrong, yet we continue to live in wrong. We continue to turn our heads and our hearts away from God, and we just continue to live in that lifestyle of sin. What happens there, that's going to cut us off from Jesus. And when we're cut off from Jesus, we can't bear fruit because he's the vine, we're the what? We're the branches. And we're told that we have to do what? Abide, stay close. And we can't allow anything to get in the middle from keeping us from abiding and staying close. Is everybody tracking with me so far? Nope. Did I hear a no? Well, let's get, okay. Everybody say, yeah, I'm with you, I'm with you. And we said that when there's sin in our lives, the way that God deals with us, and I'm so thankful that God is God and I'm not. Because if it was me sometime, I'd say, you know what, I'm just done with you. Aren't you ever going to get it right? That's because my heart is hard at times. Anybody else ever deal with that? But I love God that he's a father that is perfect. And his love is perfect. His love is complete. And he loves us so much that when we fall into those sins, he doesn't just say, well, phooey on you, I'm done with you. You must not. No, what he does is he intervenes in our lives. And one of the ways that he intervenes in times of sin is called discipline. Everybody loves discipline, don't we? Everybody loves discipline. Say, woo, yeah, discipline. No one, of course. But here's the deal. God loves us, so he does what? He brings discipline. Look at this verse. I love it. Hebrews 12:5. Let's read this together. Let's read it together. For the Lord disciplines those he what? Loves. Let's read that again with some excitement. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. I was thinking about that. I love my kids. When they do something wrong, which hardly ever happens. Let's talk about your kids, okay? How many people love their kids? Say, yay me, I love my kids. You love your kids? Okay, what happens when you know your kids do something wrong? That's just, it's sin, it's wrong, you just know it. Sometimes this is what happens. We just get so tired that we say, I don't have the energy to deal with this anymore. Has anybody ever done that except me? It's just tiresome. That's not God. He loves us. And if we love our kids, what we do is we discipline them. Why? Because we know that if they continue on in that behavior, it's going to bring what? Pain. It's going to bring hurt. It's just going to bring all kind of destruction. We need to understand how much God loves us, folks. He didn't give us his commandments to restrict us. He gave us his commandments to free us. I want to say that one more time, and I want some people to yell amen. God didn't give us his commandments to restrict us. He gave us his commandments to free us. That's a good God. He says, if you do this, it's going to hurt you. And not only is it going to hurt you, it's going to hurt other people. And God's not a God that's into people being hurt. God's a God that's into people being whole and complete and healthy and in love with him. And if it takes some discipline, he'll intervene because he loves you so much. Wow, the power's really coming now. The Holy Spirit's here. The power. All right. Let's move on with God. Okay. But does everybody get me this morning? Do you hear my heart?